Coming up on KUCB News, Raven, Alaska strikes a deal to bring mileage sharing back to the Aleutians. And Unalaskans gathered to dedicate a new Aleutian sea kayak. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Theo Greenlee with some local news on Monday, August 16th, 2021. Raven Alaska says it's reached an agreement with Alaska Airlines that will allow customers to use miles to purchase tickets on its airline. A statement released Thursday from Raven Alaska says customers can choose between earning and redeeming miles from either airline's loyalty programs. It can be expensive to travel in and out of remote Alaska communities, so many in non-Alaska use mileage programs to offset these costs. But mileage sharing programs ceased after Raven Air's fatal plane crash in October 2019. Raven Alaska has new owners and management from the previous Raven Air Group, which filed for bankruptcy last year. Raven Alaska's website allows customers to earn Alaska Airlines miles from its flights, but the site doesn't currently allow flights to be booked using the loyalty program's incentives, and it remains unclear when that will begin. Raven representatives did not answer requests for clarification. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced on Thursday that his administration will not appeal a ruling from early last week that the state must maintain a more than $1 billion endowment to lower electricity costs in high-cost areas. Dunleavy said in a statement that the ruling provided clarity and that the Power Cost Equalization Program provides an essential service. His administration previously took the position that the money in the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund could only stay there if three-quarters of both legislative chambers voted in favor of it. Since that failed to happen this year, the administration planned to sweep money from the fund into the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The Alaska Federation of Natives and others sued Dunleavy to stop that from happening, and Superior Court Judge Josie Garton ruled in favor of the plaintiffs. Dunleavy said the court did not address an important political challenge that, quote, at any point the PCE fund can be raided by the legislature with a simple majority vote. Dunleavy has proposed requiring funding for the program as part of an amendment to the state constitution that would also enshrine permanent fund dividends in the constitution. Dunleavy said the possibility that the PCE could be raided in the future is a reason why the legislature should pass his proposed amendment this year. And over in Kodiak, a shipwreck from decades ago has begun leaking diesel fuel off Kodiak Island. Environmental officials say last month's massive earthquake may have disturbed the wreck's resting place at the bottom of Women's Bay. Jade Gamble, the state's on-scene spill coordinator, said Friday that it's not clear how much diesel and other contaminants are on the former fishing vessel, St. Patrick.
It started leaking after the earthquake. We've been responding along with the Coast Guard, and right now we are collecting information on that vessel, and they've been able to minimize the leak. But right now we're going at it, now that it's minimized, our main goal is to ensure we don't have some type of catastrophic release.
The former scallop boat was hit by a rogue wave during a stormy November night in 1981 near Marmot Island. The captain ordered the crew to abandon ship. Only two of its crew members survived. The damaged 138-foot vessel was adrift in rocky seas for several days before being towed to shore and anchored in Women's Bay. The tragedy was the subject of lawsuits filed by survivors and families of the victims. The vessel later sank in 1989. Authorities say the first reports of a sheen were first received less than a week after the earthquake. The Coast Guard flew over August 6th and confirmed what appeared to be a spill in about 30 feet of water. A contractor is on scene helping with the containment. But whether the July 28th earthquake could have disturbed the shipwreck isn't yet clear. Alaska Earthquake Center seismologist Natalia Rupert says modeling shows Women's Bay was largely unaffected by the July 28th earthquake.
Kodiak didn't experience anything significant damage or structural damage, and this shipwreck being even farther away, I guess it's possible, but it's just hard to tell.
The Coast Guard says it's not clear who the responsible party would be, as the vessel doesn't appear to have an owner. It has activated the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund and continues to monitor the situation. The 8.2 earthquake that struck on July 28th was the state's largest in more than a half century. Its epicenter was about 260 miles southwest of the St. Patrick's resting place in Kodiak's Women's Bay. The Unalaska community gathered Thursday at Margaret Bay to join the Kowalungan tribe and the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association as they launched a new Uluktak, an Aleutian skin-on-frame sea kayak. As KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, they dedicated the build to a longtime Unalaska resident and tribal member.
Let us pray to the Lord, O creator and author of mankind, giver of spiritual grace and bestower of eternal salvation.
Vince Tudiakoff Sr. stands in Margaret Bay reciting a prayer to bless a new Uluktak. It's a two-person Aleutian sea kayak.
That fortified by the might of the heavenly protection may be potent unto the bodily salvation and secure and aid all who shall desire to make use of it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Each new Uluktak, or ikyak, or a single-person skin-on-frame sea kayak, is dedicated to someone. This build was dedicated to Tudiakoff, who, at the time of the blessing, had no idea that he would be the honored individual.
We'd like to dedicate and honor somebody prominent, somebody meaningful.
That's Mark Daniels, a professional ikyak and a Uluktak builder.
Up till now, mostly it's been people in the past, and this time we wanted to honor someone who's really deserving of being honored and who is still alive, very much alive, and don't know, embarrassing, but this is dedicated to Vince Tudiakoff.
Daniels led this build, which took place during the Kowalungan tribe of Unalaska's Camp Kungayuk earlier this month. With the help of the tribe and the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association, Daniels and his team finished the build in about a week's time. This Uluktak is named Tukuk, which translates to chief in Unangam Tanu. Tudiakoff says it's an honor to have Tukuk dedicated to him.
Usually they don't name one for people that are still around, at least not this camp, you know. So it's a great honor, and I thank the people for what they did. They really am overwhelmed, yeah.
As Tudiakoff and Daniels rowed in Tukuk out into the calm bay, a few dozen Unalaskans, many of which helped build the Uluktak at Camp Q, watched tacitly, listening to APIA's Dustin Newman's voice resonate over the water. In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Theo Greenlee, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. ¶¶